Zeman of the Mystery Writers of America, MWA, with whom I had the pleasure of working on this project for the last year. Barry did a lot of the heavy lifting and kept me from getting a brain hernia. Thanks, too, to Marjorie Flax, administrative manager of the MWA, who was of enormous help to me when I was president of MWA, and who is truly the administrative manager par excellence for this anthology. I also want to thank John Helfers of Techno Books, who coordinated all the pieces of this project and did a fantastic job of editing. Thanks, too, to Celia Johnson of Grand Central Publishing, GCP, for pulling it all together. GCP is the publisher for my novels, and I'm happy to be working with them on this anthology. This book would not have been possible without the hard work and dedication of the panel of judges, who read nearly 200 submissions from fellow MWA members, and who had the difficult task of choosing the best for me to pick from. Many, many thanks go to Libby Hellman, Daniel Stassauer, Persia Walker, James Lincoln Warren, and Carolyn Wheat. And finally, I also want to thank the Mystery Writers of America, one of the finest professional organizations in the publishing business, for inviting me to edit this year's anthology. As a 35-year member and former president of MWA, I can say with some authority and experience that the MWA has been instrumental in keeping the mystery story in the forefront of all writing genres, and has assured mystery readers a continuous supply of the first-rate stories we love, up to and including this year's extraordinary anthology. If you love crime and mystery stories, you will love this collection from the men and women who have proven themselves to be masters of the genre. Enjoy! Nelson DeMille. Death Benefits by Nelson DeMille. On a pleasant Friday afternoon in June, best-selling author Jack Henry sat in the study of his Upper East Side townhouse. He had put his creative writing aside and was now focused on his finances, bills, income projections, royalty statements, and pending deals. After a few hours, he was coming to the realization that he was on the brink of insolvency. Bankruptcy. Holy shit! It just didn't seem possible. He was rich and famous. How could he be broke? Well, because the money going out was greater than the money coming in, that's how. Actually, he'd known about this problem for some time. But through a process of denial, disbelief, and maybe a little arrogance, he'd put off the inevitable conclusion which now stared him in the face. "You're broke," he said aloud. "You have no money. You're screwed." He opened the lower left drawer of his desk, pulled out a bottle of Remy Martin, and took a swig. He sat back in his leather chair and stared blankly out the window of his East 64th Street townhouse. How did this happen? Well, two financially ruinous divorces had not helped the bottom line, not to mention that his last two novels hadn't been well received by the critics or the public, and had also been turned down by the book clubs. And then there were the movie deals that had never materialized, and the foreign translation deals on his last two books that had dwindled to a few lowball offers from thieving publishers in countries that he couldn't even locate on a map. Lithuania? His agent, Stan Wyckoff, wanted him to accept any translation deal, like the $1,000 just offered by the Bulgarian publisher for his latest novel, Into the Dark Waters. Stan had told him, "I'll see if I can get you a paid trip to Bulgaria to publicize the book." To which Jack had replied, "You go to Bulgaria. See if you can get me another $1,000. Jack took a second swig of cognac. "How are the mighty fallen?" His biggest financial problem seemed to be taxes. Federal, New York State, and New York City. A letter from his accountant informed him that his tax obligations, past, present, and future, totaled slightly over $500,000 with interest and penalties. How did that happen? Well, apparently he'd made enough money to owe taxes, but he'd been spending